What's this for, Kyle? Sam Reddick?
The season's over.
The season's
over. Is that
over.
What it is? It's over already?
Well, already?
This is more your tone, Tom.
Well, yeah,
I'm trying to be balanced.
I'm saying I'm
fair
worried.
Fair balance.
Mm-hmm. I'm mad about the loss. I'm not saying the season's over yet.
I think a lot of people are.
I mean, ask me after the next two games. I mean, if they fall to 1-3, 1-3, is Nick Sirianni safe at 1-3, guys? What do we think?
If you're asking me, I would say yes.
Yeah?
Yes.
Kyle?
Is he safe?
Yeah, like if, say the next 2 weeks look really bad.
Like if they get blown out 2 weeks in a row?
Yeah.
I don't know. I don't, like, the Eagles don't really have a history of firing coaches this early into a season, no matter what, like no matter how bad it looks.
Ever. The only time Jeffrey Lurie ever fired a coach in season was Chip.
And there was one week left.
Right.
So I don't know, but you know this city will be. I'll be calling for it. Now, let me ask you this, DK.
What?
What if they go out there and they kick the Saints' ass?
That would be awesome. And then we'll be
everything
happy.
Will be right with the world.
Exactly.
What I like how you put
about that.
That's pretty awesome. Yeah.
Well done, Kyle. No yeah, if they beat the Saints and are 2-1, we'll be feeling great. Can I say I'm exceedingly confident, considering there's no AJ Brown and this defensive line is this defensive line? I cannot. But hopefully I'm wrong about that. And hopefully the Eagles win the game on Sunday coming up. 215-592-9494 if you want to get in. In a few minutes here, we will get to Devin White, some things he had to say. One of the Eagles' big offseason moves, who so far is yet to take the field for the Birds. Seemed to be a healthy scratch the other night. We'll get to that in a few minutes. First, let's go back to the phones. Go to Jameel in Frankfurt. What's up, Jameel? Yo, Jameel. Let's put Jameel on hold. Let's go to Josh in North Jersey. What's up, Josh?
Man, you got me?
Gotcha.
How are you guys? Always a pleasure. So I'm going to say this. Eagles fans overreacting, obviously. Goes together like peanut butter and jelly, if I'm being honest. It's just so crazy how this fan base takes a loss like this. It's week two, guys, so I want to be optimistic. I think going forward, let's be honest, I don't want to talk about the past, what happened with Atlanta stock. Going forward, this offensive line looks to be a realistically good offensive line, guys. I think Mekhi Becton, the experiment, is working. I think he's playing at a high level at right guard. I think Landon Dickerson, everyone talks about Howie Drafton. Yo, he hit on Landon Dickerson. He is a stud. And I think Cam has really turned into a good center. I think the year sitting in the wings and then playing right guard, he looks like he could play at a high level too. So with that being said, I think Saquon coming in, I think there's going to be an opportunity these next couple weeks. I think they're going to sit in 12 personnel. They're going to try to get the tight ends involved more. They're going to run the ball, I think, against New Orleans, keep their offense off of the field. I want to talk defensively. So I'm sorry for going on a tangent, man. Please stop me. But defensively, I want to say this. Yes, the pass rush these past two games have been poor, okay? I think Howie's put together this team, right? I think it's up to the coaching staff to get out of what the talent you have the most that you possibly can. Some dudes are better at setting the edge than others, let's be honest. I think Bryce Huff, I'm going to say this as like a realistic like ball fan with my Green Eagle goggles on, he needs to be just specifically exclusive pass rushing. I think right now his game, setting the edge, I think, Hugh, you're right. That's how you stop the outside zone, man. You get penetration on the CD gap. Make the running back cut back inside where your help is. I think also Avonte Maddox, everybody's cooking this guy. I think week one, that touchdown he led up against Watson, you know how many times Love and Watson ran that rep against training camp? Maddox has not been playing as poorly as everyone's been painting him to be. I want to say that. I think this defense needs to bow their neck in the red zone like they've been, and they need to be opportunistic going forward and trying to create turnovers. And again, that is a coaching decision. I'm surprised.
Well, Josh, it's not a coaching thing to get turnovers. I mean, you're not going to get turnovers unless you get pressure on the quarterback.
Tom, can I say this? I'm surprised Vic stayed as in his shell as long as he did. In week one against Green Bay, we stemmed our five-man front. I love that look. I think getting Milton Williams on the field more is appropriate. I think he's very violent with his hands. I think Milton Williams needs to play more, specifically against the run. I think Jalen Carter, I want the Eagles to like literally send to the NFL every single goddamn holding penalty this guy has not been getting called.
Josh.
Well, I want one. I want one, Tom. One.
I hear you, dude. I hear you, Josh, and appreciate the call, man. I don't know. That sounds like loser talk right there. I mean, we're going to complain about Jalen Carter getting held? They got to find a way to play through it.
Yeah, they got to. Like I was always told that if you're being held, it's your fault. My coach used to say that all the time. And Jalen Carter is a much bigger defensive lineman than I ever was. And that was one thing that I never, ever, ever complained about. Like, I would go to the refs and say, hey, you know, it's a good chance I might be being held, but to go in there and say, oh, man, I'm being held. Nah. Jalen Carter has shown on numerous occasions in the NFL and in college that he's a grown-ass man. I remember a friend of mine, Rusty Manziel, who does college scouting down there. He knows all the, like, ins and outs, intricacies of SEC football in Atlanta. Mm-hmm. Used to talk to me about how Jalen Carter could wake up and beat every lineman that they had at Georgia. He was that good. He's that good. He got drafted for a reason, to where he got drafted. You know, I know he fell in the draft and everything. He can play. He needs to get that want to, man. One thing that I was told by Travis Link, he was a GM for the Atlanta Hawks, is that you got to find out what a kid's want to is. Mm-hmm. And then you take it from there. Jalen Carter has to have that want to, man. You know, a lot of times kids, guys get that money and they get complacent. I think that there probably is some complacency there, you know, because the skill is there. I think the skill is there for all these guys. I think they're just a little complacent.
Well, when you look at Jalen Carter so far, Hugh, is that what you've seen? Like, watching him play this so far this season, has it been an effort issue? Is he getting doubled? What's going on there?
I look at a lot of these guys, man, and I look at this defensive line. It's like, you got to get off the blocks. You got to play with violent hands. They're not doing that. It's almost like, oh, I'm blocked. This is nice. Let me see where they're going to take me on this play. Like I said, they're playing with steering wheels in their back. Playing defense, especially in the front, is an attitude. I remember going into the games, and I would be like, you know, this guy might be bigger than me, but I'm going to whoop this big dude's butt. I'm going to whoop his behind, because I reveled in that. I like the fact that I was considered – one of the smaller defensive ends, but I was called at that time, it was a try-hard, effort guy. That's cool, I'll be an effort guy, but I'm an effortlessly whoop your ass on every play that I'm out there.
With all due respect.
Don't cut that out. Don't cut that off, Kyle. But you know what I was trying to say? I got excited.
Or hoobaloobaloo, yeah. Hoobaloobaloo, or whatever you want to call it.
Yeah, it's one of those things, man, where I used to go into games and say, if I was playing against an Orlando Pace, I wanted that matchup. I wanted to beat that cat. If I'm playing against Jonathan Ogden, I'm trying to beat that cat because he's considered the best, and I consider myself the best. So, you know, I want to see where I'm at. I want to see what my game is compared to your game.
They need some more of that dogging.
You know what I'm saying? That's what I'm saying. I want to see where I'm at. I came from a small school, and, you know, I'm playing against all these dudes that went to big schools and had these big names and whatever. I want to see where I'm at compared to you.
There you go.
Yeah. And I don't, you know, that's what I see. I see a lot of what does not happen on Sunday as effort, in my humble opinion,
you know,
with all due respect.
And this defensive line needs to play with more of that.
You know that when he was drafted, the Jets fans didn't, they had no idea who he was.
Oh, really?
They weren't really happy about this. I think I have the audio right here.
With the 16th choice in the first round, the New York Jets select defensive end from Central State of Ohio, Hugh Douglas.
Well, let me tell you, they don't know who he is.
Be made by the New York Giants.
No, I remember.
They don't know who he is.
You know what I remember about this, TK?
Who was
it? It was one. Like, it was like a bunch of Jets fans.
Boomer did you dirty there.
And they were like, when they drafted me, everybody was like, who the hell? And one dude was like, no, he can play. Trust me. Like, one dude was like trying to convince the rest of the fan. Like, no, he's okay.
They don't know who he is.
Oh, man, it was funny. That did not bother me. But I remember going to camp and having a little man complex. And that's kind of how I played. It's one of those things, man. Like I said, yesterday gave a whole bunch of examples of guys that played in the NFL at a high level that weren't the biggest guys. Cameron Wake.
Right,
Robert Mathis, and I forgot the third guy that I had, but it's a few of them. And when you look at them, Kyle Vandenbosch wasn't a – like, when you think of defensive ends, you think of 260. Everybody would say he's too little. I never subscribed to that. Vic Beasley was a guy that played in Atlanta, was a ninth pick in the draft. I forgot what year he got drafted.
Clemson, right?
Clemson guy.
Yeah.
Now, he didn't pan out. Vic Beasley was like 245 pounds. He had a 15-sack season. So you can't tell me that it can't be done if you put forth the effort. You got to put forth the effort, man. You got to have that dog in. You got to go out there. Like, if I'm Bryce Huff, I'm tired of being talked about like I can't play. Hell, he's proven that he can play. He did it somewhere else. Why can't you do it here?
Need that dog in him. Come on, Bryce. Now it's time for a read on our Twitter question of the day, at WIP Midday Show. Have we overreacted to the Eagles' loss to Atlanta? 65% of the audience saying no. The Twitter question is sponsored by the PI Dental Center. Your smile is the first thing that others see when they meet you. Learn about and schedule your evaluation at PIDentalCenter.com. So 65% say no. Now, we talk about the defensive line. Them needing to stop the run better. Need to keep them off the linebackers. And one of those linebackers so far has not been Devin White. Missed the first game with the ankle injury. Then on Monday night, appeared to be a healthy scratch, but is handling it pretty well here. Here was Devin White, what he had to say yesterday after practice.
Makes that personality come out of it and allows you to handle this the way you're handling
it. I don't know. I think I've been through a lot in my life, good and bad, you know, open and public, private, and it just make you grow up, you know what I'm saying? You know, everything not gonna always be in your favor, you know, but it's about how you respond, you know, how you handle yourself, but that's the only thing I can control. You know, I can't put myself in the game, but I can control my attitude, my effort at practice, and, you know, just my swagger in the building still, you know, coming here every day like a pro and handling my business, rather, you know, I feel like I got a son, he can cry when he don't get his way, you know, that's for him to do, not me, you know, I got to set the example.
That's a mature way to look at it. You know, he'll let his two-year-old at home cry about when he doesn't get his way. But Devin White, you got to respect that, Hugh, right?
Yeah. Because there's nothing you could control. I mean, I think at this point, he's been a healthy scratch 2 weeks in a row. You just have to deal with it and go out there at practice and try to be ready if the moment presents itself. You know, you're playing against or you're playing behind a guy who, with all due respect, has been hurt over the last couple of seasons and has not finished, has not played a full season. So you have that going for you. So just wait, because there might be an opportunity that presents itself later in the season.
Yep, and that's what you like to see from a player who you know, does get the playing time he expected coming in. Now, another player for the Eagles isn't necessarily handling things the same way, and that's Isaiah Rodgers. Kyle, what did Isaiah Rodgers have to say in his post?
It was on his Instagram. I'm not sure if it's still up or not. I haven't checked lately. But it was just a picture of him sitting on the bench, the Eagles sideline, and the caption was, "Control what you can control." So, doesn't really seem to be too happy about.
No, seems a little passive aggressive.
Well, that to me that feels like it's more of him just trying to be ready,
trying to keep his head up.
Yeah, just trying to keep his head up. Mm-hmm. Hey, a lot of times, man, I get caught up in like being upset about things I have no control over. So, you know, just control what you can control.
So that's not something you look at and think it's a bad sign.
I don't think so. I mean, I can understand people that read it that way. We all read things differently. I don't read that as him being a malcontent.
Right.
You just got to be ready, man. Anytime that you're in a position where you're not the starter or things don't work out the way that you want them to, you just have to be prepared. So just in case they do.
Yeah.
You know?
Let's go back to the phones. Go to Jameel in Frankfurt. What's up, Jameel? Jameel.
Come on, Jameel. It's second time, dude.
Killing us. Second time. Joe in Bucks County. What's up, Joe?
Hey, how you guys doing?
What's up?
Hey, I need you guys to talk me off the ledge. Let me know why we're not going to be out of the playoffs by midseason. And I'm going to give you guys my reason why I feel it.
Well, Joe, I don't think by midseason. I think this team, I mean, they got an easy schedule at the end of the year. I just think, you know, when you look at this defense, that's the thing that concerns me most. You lose the game, that's one thing, but the defensive line, I just don't know how the issues get better.
Well, I'm going to go to the offensive side, and I think that's a big issue, too, that we're overlooking. We had issues last year where Sirianni couldn't pull together, and we had some adversity right now with Brown being out, and what happened? We hit adversity, and we blew the game. We had absolutely zero planning on how to handle the 15 passes that go to Brown. What did we do? We gave him the Covey. They should have had a plan on how they were going to, one, overcome that. Number two, Sirianni needs to know that if you don't have your number one receiver, you take points whenever you can. It's not a regular game like over the last 5 years. He's making decisions like he did in the past, and I think it's going to cost us.
Well, Joe, I get what you're saying, and I would have kicked the field goal early in that game too. But yeah. I mean, but I don't think it's just a rule where you got to take the points early in games every time. Like, the Eagles won a Super Bowl largely because they didn't take the points.
But let me ask you, though, the situation. You don't have your number one receiver. Do you not take points whenever you can get them, knowing it's probably going to be points at a premium?
I think that's a fair argument, but I do think Spikes made a good argument the last couple of days with this as well. The Eagles largely won that game last week against the Packers because the Packers had to settle for field goals early on in that game.
But they had their players, too. We didn't. So you got to get. That's an element that we keep forgetting, that Brown wasn't there. Oh, the last point I want to make real fast. Hey, guys, when you look at the first two series, and I went back and looked at them, there was like no scheming, no planning. What were the 15, 20 plays, the first ones when you come to the game, are they going to run?
The first 15?
Absolutely. What?
You're talking about the first 15? Like the
yeah, like the first 15. Yeah. Yeah, you get it. It was like all over the place. There was no rhyme or reason how they were going to handle A.J. not being there.
Well,
it concerns me. In the long term, it concerns me.
I hear you, Joe. Appreciate the call. Well, Hugh, I didn't see the same issues. Like, the first drive wasn't good last week, but the second drive, that was the one where they basically ran Saquon up and down the field on.
Yeah. Well, he was talking about the first 15 where, you know,
right.
I'm assuming he means that you didn't get Saquon involved in that at all. They were trying to pass the ball. They were trying to establish something. It's hard to say because I came from an era where, you know, most teams did that. They just have plays out there, dink and dunk plays, just to get the quarterback comfortable. And it looked to me that's what they were trying to do. So I'm not that much upset about that. I think you probably could have gave the ball to Saquon a little bit more. But outside of that, no, I wasn't that upset about that.
Yeah, and overall, I thought the offense moved the ball well in that game.
Yeah.
You just got to come away with more points.
Yeah, that was the biggest thing, especially knowing what you know about your defense and that they're challenged right now. They're run challenged and they're pass rush challenged right now. So, yeah, you got to do a little bit better.
You got to find a way to do something well on the defensive side of the ball. Final segment coming up. We'll finish up with as many calls as we can. Also, Vic Fangio just spoke to the media. He was asked about Bryce Huff and if he'll continue to be the starter. Vic's answer to that coming up next. Hugh Douglas, Tom Kelly in for Joe Giglio. This is the Midday Show, Sports Radio 94 WIP.